Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg. I'm not one of those crybabies who thinks newspapers are dying. I do, however, think that the news itself is migrating to new distribution systems, and that in the future the word paper will be less and less connected with the word news. Okay, maybe I do think newspapers are dying, but I believe well-managed, thoughtful, and provocative news organizations will always thrive in the new media order. For example, the Huffington Post recently announced $1 million commitment to investigative journalism. TrueSlant.com, a new startup, has become a home to experienced journalists, including me, Mr. Media, who are pursuing their beats in new ways by blogging as often as they have something fresh to say on a subject. The latest entrant to the news for all is DailyMe.com. That's DailyMe.com. And you may want to go bring that up on your computer while we talk. It's a startup news gathering operation that boasts of adding 5,000 news stories daily from the most reputable of sources, including the Associated Press, Reuters, the Dallas Morning News, the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, and Newsday. It's also licensing and repackaging news product for third parties. DailyMe.com comes to us from the minds of Eduardo Hauser and Neil Buddy, who will join me in a minute. Hauser has 18 years of online and offline media experience at AOL Latin America, Venevision, and the Cisneros Group of companies. He's also a member of the board of directors of NPR. And my guest today, Neil Buddy, was the founding editor and publisher of the Wall Street Journal Online, having formulated the original idea for that site and developed it into one of the most successful subscription news sites around. He later built Yahoo News. And Neil, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I have to correct one little thing. I didn't build Yahoo
Please.
News. I joined them about 5 years ago and took them from where they were to number one.
Well, and so I was just going to say then, I would clarify that by saying they were never the same after you left.
Oh, gee, thanks.
All right. Well, I appreciate the clarification. And listen, you probably heard in the introduction that Mr. Media is based in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I am wondering why you guys chose to set up in Hollywood, 200 miles away from the new media capital of the world. Why didn't you just come over here where the rest of us are?
Well, I think Eduardo, when he was creating the company, wanted to stay close to where he was living at the time. And since he, before starting DailyMe, ran AOL's Latin America operations and was based out of here, this was a natural place to get started.
All right. Well, it's a flimsy excuse, but I'll let it go for now.
All right. We'll accept that.
Now, Neil, I really like the DailyMe.com front page and the interface. I mean, a lot, actually. But what made you and Eduardo think that the online world needed another news aggregation site?
Well, the aggregation aspect is really secondary to what we're trying to accomplish, which is help people find the news that's really interesting and relevant to them. And I think the world has reached a point where people's interests are across a variety of news and other media sites. And so our goal is really to help them not have to go combing throughout the web looking for the content of interest to them and make it all together, all come together on one site for them.
But Yahoo News kind of did that? I mean, other sites?
Other sites have done it with different approaches. Our approach is different on a couple of fronts. One is that we're bringing a lot of the content together through licensing and having it on DailyMe, which allows us to create a more complete user experience. But secondarily is our focus on how to make personalization really work for news consumers to help them find what's of interest to them. And that's the heart of what we rolled out with the newest version of Daily Me this past week is our Newsdagram technology that allows us to track users, what they're reading, understand that content, you know, at a very fine-grained level, and then present to them news that matches the things that they've shown an interest in, whether at a high-level category or down to specific people, places, things that they're interested in.
Now, this whole idea of personalized news, I'm personally of two minds of it. I think a lot of journalists may be as well. In that it's wonderful that you can self-select the topics that you want and have them delivered to you. You know, I could put in your name and follow news about you, for example, or put in, you know, my name and follow news about me. Not that there ever is any, but. And that's great, and I think that's been part of the appeal of Google News is that you could create these news alerts. But on the other hand, one of the things that's always been great about the daily newspaper, or even the evening news on television or CNN all day long, is that you were introduced to all kinds of subjects, things that you never knew that you'd be interested in, or things that never knew. Affected you, but things like this, you know, are we going to become so involved in our own little world that we're not going to know what's going on around us?
Absolutely not. I think, you know, we've tried to take the approach with Daily Me that you want a blend of personalization, you want to include to some degree editorial choices made by people who are expert in the news and know what's going on and feature and highlight those stories that probably you ought to know about. And you want involvement of the community. You want other people who are interested and familiar with topics also helping to bubble up the most interesting content. So personalization is one aspect of it and really works in conjunction with other approaches like an editorial ranking of stories as well as a community ranking of stories. And you can bring all those together in one place as we have on Daily Me.
Hmm.
There's also a lot of ways in which you can merge editorial insights with personalization in the sense of what you're interested in. We're working with one client that wants to take our technology and put it just into their sports section. Why is that? Well, they have Major League Baseball teams, basketball teams, football team, and hockey team all in that one city. And they know that the fans of those teams are not universal. They may be huge fans across the board, but some of them really care about the baseball team a lot more than football or hockey. They want to be able to adjust the mix of stories on their sports page based on each user's interest. The baseball fans will see a bigger helping of baseball. The football fans will see a bigger helping of football. Those are kind of things you can do in conjunction with the editors making the decisions about what should be there to begin with.
Hmm. Well, I can see that. I mean, if you were a Dallas Cowboys fan living in Manhattan, you're not going to be getting in the printed paper, certainly, a whole lot of Dallas Cowboys news. But if you could be part of, let's say, Newsday, since I know you're affiliated with you have a deal with Newsday, let's say you could be reading Newsday online and arrange your browser so that you were getting all kinds of Dallas Cowboy news, that would probably excite you because you could be getting it not just from the Dallas Morning News, but you could be getting whatever is being written about Dallas. Is that right?
Absolutely. And the nice thing is, to some degree, I mean, you can say that explicitly, but in many cases, you may not want to take the time to pick and choose those categories or teams that you're interested in. We'll keep track. And if every day you're reading three stories about the Dallas Cowboys, then you're going to see more Dallas Cowboys in your mix than you would if you were somebody else who showed more interest in, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or something.
Oh, that's just the Rays. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. They got rid of the devil? Oh, that's good.
Okay, fine. You got to keep up on the news just because you're over there, you know, in Marlins territory. well, I mean, for example, is the idea of that similar to the way, say, like a Google AdSense works, where it's going to read the page that you're going to and give you ads that are connected to that. Whereas, a newspaper participating with Daily Me, they know that I'm interested in, okay, the Tampa Bay Rays, so I'm going to get fed automatically more stories about that or about baseball.
It has some similarities because we do an analysis of the content of the page. In our case, we're doing it in advance so that we know what every page is about. And then as a user moves through the site, we're recording that and building up a picture over time. So unlike an AdSense that matches a single page with what should be relevant ads based on the context of that page, we're accumulating that context over time and building up a picture over time of a user's interests and matching that up, not with ads, although we could also do with ads. At the moment, we're doing it basically with other news content to show you what you'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. And we can do that in a variety of ways. It doesn't. It can be very explicit the way we're doing it right now on the front page of dailyme.com. If a user goes to the site and reads at least four articles, then the front page has a module that has a set of four categories on it. Those four categories readjust based on what stories you've been reading at a category level. So we're saying, you seem to be interested in golf, you seem to be interested in the internet. Those are the categories we feature out there and give you a little more of the kind of news you're interested in.
So right now I'm looking at dailyme.com, and to the right, there's this focus on Twitter, Inc., and General Motors, and Time Warner. Is that what you're talking about, or is it something different?
It's actually a little lower than that. There's a section in the middle of the page that says headline news. If you've not been to the site and have not looked at least four articles, it'll say headline news, and you'll see, I believe, business, sports, tech, and world news. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, and I just noticed that I was signed in before, but I don't seem to be signed in now. So yeah, okay, I do see that.
So once you read four articles, those four categories will shift and adjust based on what you've shown interest in. So on my screen, looking at that same block of headlines, I see computers, internet, entertainment, and golf as the topics that I've been most interested in. That's the kind of personalization we do based on what Newstagram technology has seen me reading over the last couple of days on our site.
So tell us about this technology. It's Newstagram, Newstogram.
Yes. Okay. And actually, a piece of our story does get back up to your neck of the woods. Our scientific advisor is on the faculty at University of South Florida and is an expert in recommender systems and a lot of the technology behind how you make these kind of decisions and calculations. And don't ask me to try to pronounce his name on a blog, but Mapology is it. So what we're doing, we're tracking every story each user reads, and we have a lot of data about each story in terms of what people are mentioned, companies, sports teams, organizations like school boards or city councils. We have industry terms. We have medical conditions, a whole range of things that we know about each story. So as you move through the site, we accumulate that information. The term newstagram comes from a statistical term called histogram, which is a picture of data that can be used for certain purposes, and that's we've applied it to news in our context. That's why we came up with that name. And it lets you do a couple of things. And the other thing you can do after you've looked at a couple of stories on dailyme.com is there's a link in the left-hand side that says My Newstagram. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to see graphically and in a hierarchical list the categories, people, companies that you've been reading about and the industry terms and other things that you're interested in. And that's also a way to keep users comfortable with what we're doing. There is a complete opt-out option there, but we'll be adding ability to kind of block things. Sometimes you read something that's, maybe not your core interest, and you don't want that to affect personalization, and you can turn that off. which is something some of the sites like Amazon do, where maybe you bought a gift or bought something through Amazon that's a gift, and they keep telling you, well, if you bought that, you might like this, and you say, I'm not interested, that was a gift. You know, so they take that out of the recommendation engine, and we'll be adding something like that as well.
There, for strictly for consumers, a couple of the more entertaining, if you will, aspects of the DailyMe.com homepage. You have the day in photos, and my two favorites at the bottom. You have top newsmakers, where you track top newsmakers by the number of stories that their names appear in. So, you know, Tiger Woods today is 283 news articles. But then my favorite, absolute favorite thing is right next to it. It's called Face It, News by Mood, and there's a series of six emoticons in a variety of situations. We go from left to right: infuriating, amazing, important, sad, uplifting, and odd/funny. Infuriating is great. The headlines today are, or at the moment, I should say, I'm sure it changes all day, but Libya sees Swiss apology for arrest of Gaddafi's son. And then another Libya story, a Lockerbie bomber freed to return to Libya to die. I like that idea. Here's some stuff that will piss you off. If you want to get mad, read these stories.
Exactly. You know, it came from from some stuff I learned when I was at Yahoo News, and there we had a rating system. Initially, I think it was a stars, 1 to 5 stars, and then we switched. Nobody really, people either did 1 or 5. They didn't seem to make gradations, so we went to just a thumbs up, thumbs down. And the problem is that when you're confronted with news, a binary up or down doesn't make a lot of sense. You may like a story because it's well written, it's on something you care about, it makes you laugh, you want other people to see it. Those are all different things, and it almost seems strange that a lot of sites use a thumbs up, thumbs down recommendation, and all the stuff gets lumped together. So our feeling was that people react to news in different ways. So there are going to be stories that get you really mad. There are going to be stories that you say, this is important, people ought to know about this. There are going to be funny stories. There are going to be sad stories. We threw in uplifting because sometimes you're reading about something and you say, that's really nice that's happening and that person's. So there's a lot of different emotions that news provoke. And we tried to come up with some different ways in which people could recommend stories based on those and vote up the ones that kind of really struck them that way.
Now, we've been talking about the consumer side of this, but this is actually a two-pronged business, right? You have these publisher solutions as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And in many ways, that's going to be the bigger part of our focus. DailyMe.com will remain. We hope it's a vital destination site. But more than anything, we want it to be a showcase of the technology that we have available. So pretty much anything on the site has been structured in such a way that it could be incorporated into another site. The main element of that is the Newstagram technology for personalization and tracking what users are interested in. We're able to put, with a small bit of code on a news site, we can track the users of any site who wants to sign up for the service. And we can do two things. One, we can provide them with data about their users that they don't probably have through their existing means of tracking usage. So users of Newsgram technology will be able to go to a site that will show data about their news site. And it will show what are the topics that are most popular, but also what are the topics that are rising, the ones that are more interesting yesterday than they had been on average. You can look at people that are rising in the news. You can look at sports teams and topics and medical conditions. So it gives you a really interesting picture of what's happening on your news site. And it'll also give a lot of other detail about comparing your users versus an overall news universe, comparing users who come to your site within your geographic area. So if you're, let's say, the St. Pete Times, you get traffic to your site from both within the Tampa Bay area as well as from all over the country and outside the U.S. This will allow you to start to see what are the people locally interested in versus what are the people coming to our site from outside interested in. Give you a lot of data that I think will be very helpful to both editors and people running these sites, even ad salespeople, to be able to go out and talk to folks about what is of interest to people in the community.
Well, I know, Neil, in talking to my newspaper friends, and I'm married. You mentioned St. Pete Times. I'm sort of married to that paper. My wife works there. I mean, one of the things that I've kind of pointed out is that if the newspapers change their way of looking at their product, you know, yes, they put out a daily news product for a local community, but inevitably they have a lot of stories, a lot of research, a lot of investigative stuff, and features that can appeal around the world. And they need to look at themselves in a different light. They may be serving the Tampa Bay area with the physical paper, but online they're serving the world, and they really need to know, you know, where they're turning on people in Dubuque and Baghdad, for example.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's also a piece of what Daily Me does by licensing content from a lot of those publishers, is to say we'll put your content out in a more national audience, and the people who really are passionate about a certain topic are going to find a story from your site on Daily Me, where they may never discover that story if it just sits and lives only on their site. So that's a piece of the equation as well, because I think a lot of people with these niche interests, you know, let's say somebody's really interested in butterfly collecting. Well, no newspaper writes about that very often, probably once every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you collected everything that was written about butterfly collecting over, you know, a period of time, and you know, you were able to see that when something new came up and was written somewhere, it would be very useful to the person who cares about that subject.
So how do you make money with DailyMe.com? I mean, the newspapers are out there looking for more revenue from the news that they're gathering and producing and publishing. They don't have a lot of money to spend on gadgets and software and programming. So, you know, where's the upside for the company?
Sure. And I think that's a pretty good characterization. I think overall what needs to happen to support local news operations is two things. One is you have to continue to grow traffic and grow engagement and get people to come to your sites more frequently, look at more pages of information.
Neil?
You still there?
Yeah, we're having a little trouble with your audio, so I think we missed you.
I apologize. I've got a phone that sometimes gets a little crazy. So what I'm saying is news sites need to do two things. One is get greater engagement, get people spending more time and using and viewing more content on their sites. And then secondarily, they need to get more revenue for every one of those pages. We believe that Newsagram and some of our other solutions help with both of those. They bring people back to your site because it's more relevant to them every time they come. And we believe that the technology we're developing also can be used to help target advertising better. And advertisers will pay if the ads are more relevant to the user because they're going to respond to them more. So advertisers who want to reach people who are sports fans can target them. Advertisers who want to reach people who are into technology can reach them. Advertisers who want to reach people who care about health can reach them by understanding more about what people are interested in. So what we'll be doing in terms of rolling out our technology to other news sites is charging a very, very tiny fee for every page that is powered in part by Newsagram data, either to enrich the content through personalization or to make the advertising more targeted. But we believe, you know, the fee that we'll charge will be a fraction of what the additional value will be to the publisher by having a more engaged user or having better targeted ads that they can charge more for.
Hmm. Now, you guys promote that you license content from, I'm going to quote here, hundreds of the world's best journalistic sources. Now, are you paying them for their content, or are you giving them access to your technology to use on their sites in exchange for their content?
today, the newspapers that we work with, we license the content and pay a fee through an intermediary service that compiles those for us. It's actually owned by McClatchy and Tribune. And the newspapers that participate in that get either a share of that money back to them, or in some cases they get rights to use the content. You know, those are separate deals, not ours. So we're paying a lump sum license fee for the content. As we roll out Newstagram and some of our other solutions to individual publishers, one option they have is to provide us with the content directly, and that can be in exchange for some of the technology or reducing the costs of some of the technology. So we will start to work with more of the publishers directly in getting their content.
All right. And I'm going to ask you this, and I mean no disrespect, but I've got to question you on the name of the site. We're the dailyme.com. I mean, were all the really good names taken?
Well, I think it's actually a great name. I don't know if you're familiar, or I mean, I think we even mentioned it on our site. You know, there was some work done many years ago by Nicholas Negroponte at the MIT Media Lab, mm-hmm. and he actually coined the term Daily Me years ago, and said, you know, this is where the future will lie. We were not involved with him. We generated the concept and we were looking for a name, and someone suggested that. And lo and behold, he had never trademarked it or copyrighted it or bought the domain name. So it was available. And after we got up and running, Eduardo happened to run into him at a conference and handed him his business card and said, "You might be amused." And he was. He thought, "Well, it's really great that someone's actually doing this." Because he had been talking about it so many years earlier. So we think it's a great name.
So you didn't take offense then. Good, good. But, I just thought, the me decade ended like 20 years ago, so I don't know. I'm kidding about that. I do like the front page. It's just, there's certain aspects of it. When you feel like you've seen – a lot of these, Yahoo has an interface with news, Google has it, there's a whole bunch of these. And so, you really have to set yourself apart. I mean, I like things like the News by Mood, and it's a very clean page. The name just kind of made me laugh. Maybe that's a good thing.
Interestingly enough, we worked with a design firm that is based in Barcelona. On the design, and I think it's kind of interesting to bring a different set of perspectives to a design, because I think a lot of the news sites in the U.S. do have a tendency to look alike, and so it was some people from coming at it from a different angle that I think helped encourage us to keep it as clean and as simple as it is.
Now, one of the things in dealing with newspapers, I mean, anytime you're selling a product, you have to overcome objections. They've always got some reason for not buying into something that you're selling. What are the objections that you're hearing, and how are you working to overcome them as you're pitching this?
Sure. We started the effort to try and sell some of our technology to news organizations really last fall. There was a conference of the Online News Association, which we kind of unveiled ourselves and really started that process. And so early on, we were meeting with people, and we heard a lot of things. A couple things that we heard that we tried to then change the approach we took. Early on, our approach for how we would integrate into their sites was much different. We restructured things and looked at a simple, very lightweight way in which they can participate, particularly with Newstagram, to get access to Newstagram data by simply adding a couple of lines of code to every page. We've come up with a set of application programming interfaces, or APIs, that make it very easy to retrieve data from our site to use. But we also offer widgets that, again, a few lines of JavaScript code you put on a page, and the widget appears there with personalized news recommendations for that user. So one of the early objections was, let's make it as simple and as easy as possible to implement.
All right. And then before we let you go, I have to ask you, two of the major organizations you've been with over recent years, Wall Street Journal and Yahoo, have undergone some pretty major changes really in the last 18 to 24 months. Rupert Murdoch taking over at the Journal and Yahoo reaching some agreements with Microsoft. Any thoughts on culturally how all that's affected those organizations, and you know, what do you think being outside looking in?
You know, I think the Journal has done a lot of great things since I left. I think the site has continued to evolve well. I think some of the changes to the it's a little harder to look inside and understand some of the journalistic pressures that people may still be concerned about. But I think overall, both the print newspaper at the Journal and the online site have made some good strides and improvements. In fact, I was just on there today looking at some of what they've done. They just sent out an email today about some of their changes to their personalized news areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the case of Yahoo, it's always hard to figure out the overall strategy and the direction of the company. The good news was, in some ways, that news was a little bit removed from that because it was something that was core that needed to be there. It was not seen as a huge moneymaker for Yahoo relative to everything else, but it was seen as a huge driver of traffic that pulled people into Yahoo, and it still is. So from that standpoint, I think the opportunity to continue to grow and evolve there is still there. But it's harder to figure out where all the other pieces of the organization are going from the outside and what all of the changes are going to mean. It seems like Yahoo's going to be even more media-focused and more focused around some of the media properties than it was for the last year or so, but who knows?
I enjoyed the quote from somebody recently at Yahoo who said, it was never a search company, and I'm thinking, that's funny. In my mind, that's all it was, even when it was doing news and stuff. I kept wanting to go back there for search, and it never regained its search superiority. But anyway, that's off the topic. folks, listen, you can take dailyme.com for a test drive and drive. That's great about being a consumer in that site. It's free. It's www.dailyme.com, DailyME.com. And Neil, first of all, thanks for being a good sport when I teased you about the name, but mostly I appreciate you coming in and talking about the site and where you're going with it. It's very interesting.
That's great. Thank you very much for your interest.
Thank you. And good luck to you guys. Hopefully we'll get to talk about
now,
it.
Now, do I have to compete with Mad Men Makeup Department Head on your page? I'm not going to look kind of shabby next to that, I think.
Yeah, well, it's hard to have to have your thing up against Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. But I think you'll find your own unique place in the Mr. Media universe.
Okay.
I think we can promise you that. But thank you again very much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite journalists and authors, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with A.J. Jacobs of Esquire, John Darton of The New York Times, 2009 Pulitzer Prize winner for features Lane DeGregory, and many others. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant, Digital Journal, Vox, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly, Blueberry, Zencast, Vimeo, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thank you so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a piece of your day and spend it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.